sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode, wow! 202. Because Allah done sent them home. I got numbers in my phone that I'll never ring again. Because Allah done sent them home. And I'll never.
Message!
Welcome! Et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, Beat Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lebanon. Lebanon. All right. Okay, come on. Get it together, B. Get it together. All right. Before I continue with the show, I need to inform you both, you new listeners, and remind you returning listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. And it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red black, and the red blue.
Rouge bleu
in this bitch. Rouge bleu's up in this bitch. Rouge bleu's up in this bitch. Rouge bleu's okay. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Thursday, September 12th, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast might not be for you. All right, hey, I feel like, what is it, 2202? Yeah, man, that was a really clear intro. I think I'm gonna record that one. I think I'm gonna reuse that. That's the one I'm gonna reuse. All right, bring back my pig. So, it's my I'm not a singer, but I'm warming up. I should have done this before recording, but you know what? It's my goddamn podcast. I do as I like. All right, okay. Where was I? All right, okay. Tradition. Again, to all your returning listeners. And special shout out to all you new listeners. Now, just to help you get familiar, you know, as you look around and wondering what the fuck is that, what was up with that sound, I gotta let you know from the get-go how I do things on this podcast. So I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Acts, it sounds fancier, and the first act is the intro, second act is news and random thoughts, and the last act is final thoughts. Now, so far in the intro, what you've heard already is the theme song, followed by me saying the title of today's episode, and some poetry, and everything after that is a disclaimer about the kind of podcast you're listening to, right? Okay. All right. Now we got that out the way. Now, another thing I like to do in the intro is share some quotes. Okay? Share some quotes, and the quote and the poetry And the title, well, those three, will all be related to the final thoughts. See, it's this new thing I'm doing. It's like a theme. Think of it as like a theme for the final thoughts. All right? Well, spoiler alert, it's a sequel. It's a follow-up on what I was talking about in the previous episode. But we'll get to that. All right. Now, before I end the intro, I just want to, again, the quotes that I promised, okay? So the first one goes, yeah, it was just too small, so I had to get it bigger. Okay, this is not helping. This is not helping. Jesus Christ. This sucks. Okay, hold on a sec. I put on the wrong link. Okay, it goes, don't send me flowers when I'm dead. If you like me, send them while I'm alive. And the second quote, this one is, could have been today's poetry, but it goes like this. Let me recite it properly. It goes, oh, shit. Did I really copy the wrong rhyme? Oh, no, it is. Okay. Just a second. I'm really usually better organized than this. Oh, man. Where the fuck? It's, oh, there we go. Sorry. All right, here we go. When I die, please don't tweet about my death. Trying to get mentions, bringing attention to yourself. Please don't post some pics from the club with some quote you stole, like we was tighter than what we was. Trying to get likes from my love. If you can't go to my mama's crib and give my mama a hug. That's from the great poet Sean Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z, who, by the way, celebrated the anniversary of his Blueprint album, which was released on September 11th, 2001, the September 11th day. Why do I know that? Because Jay-Z rhymes a lot about that shit. About how, he doesn't rhyme that part. He goes, oh, 9/11 was fucked up. But I sold a shitload of CDs that day. Yeah, back then kids were selling CDs. Was it 2001? Yeah. 2001. Yeah, holy shit. Sorry, I found myself reminiscing about 9/11, but that's not what I do in the intro. All right, okay. Oh, last thing I like to do before I end the intro is acknowledge some dates. Now, this episode is being recorded on September 12th, but I want to acknowledge that September 13th is the death anniversary of the late, great Tupac Shakur, a.k.a. Machiavelli, a.k.a. our Savior, our Lord and Savior. So just take some time to remember the goodness of Tupac Shakur and everything he's done well in your life. He's done for you in your life. All right? You piece of shit. Motherfucker died for your sins. The least you can do is sin more. Okay. That's it. Okay, so this concludes the intro. Now let's jump to the second act. And before I do that, let's, I play this beautiful sound. I play this. Yeah. Okay. All right. News and random thoughts. Now, before I gotta give you a heads up. the weather in Ottawa in the 613 has been fucked up. I'm going to assume that the weather's been fucked up. Maybe not. Okay. So I got a relative who's chilling in Brazil right now, and I don't think he's bitching about the weather. But yeah, no front. So the weather's been like super cold, and now it's super warm. I just feel the need to bitch about the fact that it's a little warm in my recording studio. But I do it for you. I suffer through it for you. All right? I'm trying to guilt you into being a permanent audience. All right? I do it for you. All right? It's a fucking... Okay. First things first. Okay. On the last episode, this is like kind of an issue, a correction. But okay, on the last episode, I made reference to a character in the Rick and Morty show. Okay, I forgot the so funny. I forgot the name of the character. The name of the character and Rick and Morty, and the character's name is. Oh, Jerry. Yeah, Jerry Smith. Yeah, so he was his picture that I shared a quote about don't be this guy, don't be this white guy. and he used Jerry Smith's picture as the, you know what, doesn't matter, all right? I was trying to remember her name, I couldn't remember it, and the only reason I'm sharing it with you is because after I hit published on the last episode, I scroll on the internet, and then boom, I see this clip I'll just play it. I see this clip. This clip just lands on my timeline, and I'm like, okay, looks like Tupac Shakur is in heaven telling me to make sure I get Rick and Morty's names right. Okay, yeah, hold on. Here we go.
Hey, right this hand, on Caracas, and of course we got
Rick Sanchez.
And Morty Smith.
Let me ask y'all something. y'all both do a lot of space travel, is that right?
Oh, we go all over.
Yeah. Dimensions and stuff.
Pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, how comforting is it for y'all to know that out in space there is no Negroes? How comfortable is that for you?
Oh, gosh, I never really thought about to be honest.
Yeah, it never crossed my mind, actually.
Put us in a precarious position.
But what if you come with us?
Oh, no, hell no. I mean, I'm a good white man. But I know what it is. Oh, look at that Negro looking over our shoulder. I just say, I do know the only thing black in space should be a black hole. That's all I say.
There we go. The only thing black in space should be a black hole. And, all right. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but the links is in the show notes. And anyway, look, I was just looking for an excuse to share this video and I found it. All right. Okay. Yeah, and what's funny is because I was on Reddit and someone asked, on the Boondock subreddit, and he asked, what's your top five Uncle Ruckus quotes? And the first one that came to mind was, guilty! That nigger's guilty! Hang that nigger. I got the rope right here. Okay. All right. Yeah, Uncle Ruckus, he don't like the blacks. Yeah, okay. But he's black. How could a black guy not like blacks? Okay, whoa, holy shit. That's like 101. This is why we need critical race theory. Actually, that's not the reason, but I'm saying a lot of dumb white people out there. All right, excuse me. A lot of uninformed white people out there. Voluntarily uninformed. All right, next item I got. All right, okay, now this is, I'm going to call this a new segment. No, it's not a new segment. I've done this before. And I'm going to call it Checking Out the Rapper and the Rhymes That They Said. Now, the original quote is Checking Out the Rapper and the Rhyme That He Said. But, you know, LL Cool J is a sexist pig. I'm just remixing it for my own purpose. And in this particular one is, I like being introduced to a new rapper. And lyrically, and they're like, you know, like you just, they say shit and you're like, ooh, and you do that ugly face. It's like, ooh, ooh, ooh. It's like when I think about these moments in life, some people smell flowers. Me, I like to hear dope ass rhymes. And this one in particular, again, while I'm minding my own business on TikTok, got my attention. And here we go. I'll give you the name afterwards.
This rapper right here.
Uh huh.
She's different. She's different. I might have to buy some merch.
Tell a bitch who fly. Step up in this bitch, I look too fly. Pop the Dior shit on Ventura. Took a midnight swim in my Chula. Yeah. Hating bitches brought by Madura.
Listen to the bars.
I soak the bitch, my pen, then I school her. Try to essay them in my Chula. Don't she the Don, don't she the Dean, don't she Supreme, that's why I'm Pula. Freaky little, sneaky little, creepy little rat bitch. Creeping on me, speaking on me, sleeping on me. Now I got some hands to burn and bars to bend them backwards. It's time to wake them up cause they been sleeping on the track list. Black so attractive, y'all be giving catfish. Log them off the web and every gangster's giving actress. Gangster's giving actress and all these fake activists. Leave me baffled, bewildered, relax a bit. Let me relax a bit, I think I need to cool it off. I put some pep up in my step and then I do it
go.
All. I shot my cutlery and hit my jeweler up.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Oh my God, that deserved. Yeah, that was dope. It's been a while where a new rapper just inspired me to be like I'm thinking of when Black Thought was on the Funkmaster Flex's show, that rhyme that he did. You know what I mean? It's like It's like they rap and you're like paying attention, like Ella said, checking out the rapper and the rhyme. That's it. You like focus on the rhyme and it inspires you to like want to rap with them or just like going, ooh, or like, ooh, oh my God, oh shit. Somebody's got to get shot. All right, okay. Name of the rapper. Her name is, that can't be it. Anna Soy? Oh, Doichi. 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 Fuck, I couldn't read that in French. Si c'était en français, ça serait Doichi. Ouais. D-O-E-C-H-E-E. Okay, let me Google it. Oh, my God. She's an American rapper? Oh, man, she had me going for British. Top Dog Entertainment. Oh, my God. Okay. I can hear my little cousins laughing at me going, you fuck, welcome to the party, uncle, old man. Okay, so, she's been around. Okay, my bad. Okay, fuck it. Look, man, I don't have time to watch MTV or whatever you kids get your new music from. And 26. Jesus Christ, she's part of Top Dog Entertainment. Damn. Top Dog is Kendrick Lamar's record label. That was badass. Damn. I play it again, but you know, we're I'm conscious of the time. And it's a school night. Okay. And it's kind of warm in here. Kind of hot. Well, it just got hotter after that. But yo, that shit was dope. Okay, what was the name of this rhyme? Replying Annie Sawyer. And the video, too. Do you think, too, is the visual? That's the thing I used to, I don't say miss, but that's what, I say miss because I don't do that anymore where I'm standing in front of Much Music or whatever the fuck, or Rap City. You know, like you watch a new video. And the rhymes are dope, and the vision, and the video, the stimulation, the eye candy is like, she's got it all. She's got it all. I felt like a teenager again hearing this shit. Catfish, is that the name of the track? Hold on a second. Catfish. Ooh, don't you hear? Y'all in trouble, okay. Catfish. Yo, that track was amazing. Doichi. Yep. Wait, I can't be it. Only a minute and 30 seconds? Okay, there it goes. Okay, I can't play all this. Woo! Well, I'm going to have to fix that. Okay, anyways, dope-ass song. Now, for all you old folks listening to this podcast, remember, you heard it on here first. To all you kids laughing at me, going, what the fuck? Like, how long is... Wait, hold on. August. Oh, this is a new... Fuck y'all, man. This is a new track. August 29th. Yeah, okay. My bad. Okay. Maybe everyone else knew about Doichi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. You know, English is my second language. That's my excuse. I'm sticking to it. I don't know how long she's been around, but to me, this is the first time I hear about her. Well, I mean, first time, relatively, this week. All right, okay. Next one is, speaking of Top Dog Entertainment, you know, I'm really enjoying this listing. Okay, so... A lot has happened this week. A lot has happened this week, but I'll get to that, right? But at the first, what? How many weeks are we in September? We are in the second week of September, yes. And one of them is how Kendrick announced, or it was announced that Kendrick would be the halftime show for the Super Bowl. Now, first of all, motherfuck the Super Bowl. White man can suck my dick. And no disrespect to all you fans, to you folks. I know you enjoy watching your little football and shit like that. But, you know, when it comes to the NFL, I have a sheer hatred for the owners. None of my heroes don't appear in no stand. Nah, that's not a good quote. But anyway, that's not my point. Not my point, right? Okay, I say fuck the NFL like I'm not going to watch the halftime show. I'm being a hypocrite. But my point is, Kendrick announced that he was going to be the halftime. It's a big deal. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a big deal. And I won't get into the Drake, this. But what I am going to say, apparently, I guess I should have read up on. Fuck it, man. Motherfucker research. But I guess Jay-Z gets some credit, apparently, for the selection. But that's what I'm saying. I don't know, whatever. Okay, but. The only reason I'm bringing up Jay-Z mainly is because some people were mad, especially Nicki Minaj was pissed that Kendrick was chosen and not Lil Wayne. Now, on the list of reasons to not like me, I also don't like Lil Wayne. I mean, you know, he's got some rhymes. He's got rhymes, right? I do not deny that. But I'm not a fan. Well, I mean, what he said about Black Lives Matter. And I'm an old school head, man. I mean, I guess for some of you, Lil Wayne would be considered an old school head. But yeah. Anyways. All this setup just so I could play this quote by Jay-Z. Because it's true. I'm a late, relatively late, a fan of Jay-Z, meaning when he was hot, when he was like back in the days, I was into Tupac. It's only later, like in the 2000s, that I was like, oh shit, that I understood the brilliance in Jay-Z. And what I appreciate about him is that how he was, I felt like he was one of the few black rappers encouraging young black men to grow the fuck up. Or be mature, or to like. I remember after reading the book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, may he rest in peace. I don't know if Stephen Covey was racist. And whatever. While reading this book, and about taking responsibilities for your actions, there's a lot of shit principles that he was talking about. I felt Jay-Z exemplified that shit. I have to say that he's perfect. Okay. Now, I know it sounds like I'm on his dick, but I mean, you know, that's not, that's not what I'm doing. But then again, if that's not what I'm doing, why the fuck am I telling you that? Now, my point is, I really liked the mature takes by Jay-Z. And I'm realizing I'm giving you a long ass setup just so I can play this clip that I found. Uh-oh. What's going on? The previous sending you to, I'm being redirected? Okay, here we go. Okay, just so I can play this clip. And he talks about the people who hate on him. Every time someone has had a complaint about him, which is very frequent, you'll always hear about someone from he grew up with being, man, fuck Jay-Z, that nigga can suck my dick. Like beyond, like a la Damon Dash type shit, right? And I like what he said, and I guess this is like a younger version of him. Oh, in 2009. Oh, wow. Sorry. 2009 is late for me, but it's a long time ago. But whatever. Okay, here we go. And just here we go. This is what he says.
When you hear people's gripe against me, it's always about what I didn't do for them. Mm. They don't say I did anything to them. They said I didn't do something for them.
That's what we've been saying about him not coming on the show.
Exactly. See, that type of thing.
No, but
yeah, I like the idea. Yeah, it's consistent. It's rarely about, yeah, he screwed me over. I mean, maybe he is, whatever. Nigga don't walk on water, I'm just saying. But I like this notion that the people who are frequently mad at him are people who are like had their hand out or expected shit from him, didn't get it, and they're being like, man, fuck that nigga. So continuing that tradition, I want to say fuck Jay-Z for not appearing on my podcast. Right, I never sent him an invite, but still. This is an invite. Yeah, I think I'm going to be on some fuck Jay-Z until he shows up on my podcast. You know, it wouldn't work. Who the fuck am I kidding? As much as I would love to be popular, for this to be a popular podcast, I don't think I want. That's kind of interesting. Yeah, there's certain. Let me just say that I'm a fan of Jay-Z, but there's a lot of his fan club that I'm not a fan of. See what I mean? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? All right, okay. All right. Welcome to Shut Up Podcast, where I take where I use long ass setup just to play one clip. Okay. All right, okay. Now, this tweet got my attention. As I was thinking about everything I could talk about on today's subject, someone posted this tweeted this, and I like this. He said, Fat Man Scoob, Super Bowl halftime announcement, Rich Homie Quan, Nicki's Coke rant, Beyonce CMA snub, RIP James Earl Jones, presidential debate, they're eating the dogs, Diddy sued again and again, RIP Frankie Beverly, Shannon Sharp fucking on Instagram, September is ghetto. There's a lot. Yeah, hold on. Frankie Beverly, he's the guy who sings Before I Let Go. Yeah, he died. He passed away September 10th. Wow. R.I.P. A lot of deaths, man. Yeah, a lot. And whatever. Okay. I looked that up. Yeah, Frankie Beverly, Shannon Sharp. Yeah, Shannon Sharp clip. I was listening to The Black Guy Who Tips, their latest episode as of today, and they played that show they do before Balls Deep, before they record Balls Deep. I think it's PD, whatever, man. On the latest episode, they played the clip of Shannon Sharp fucking, and I made the mistake of listening to it before going to work, before logging into work, and let's just say that I felt a little awkward logging in. Yeah, I tell you what, can I find a clip of, let me see if I can find, what, y'all want to hear Shannon Sharp? Hey, if I had to hear it, you guys have to hear it, all right? Hold on a second, where can I, bear with me, I think I have it over here. I think there you go. Here we go.
Get that bell off.
Oh, fuck me.
Alright, okay. I don't know why she's gotta make it about race and why she gotta be fat phobic about this shit. Alright, yeah, that was it. I'm not gonna play the whole thing, cause you know, fuck, what am I? Rated R? I mean, I'm a sinner, but I'm not that kind of sinner. Alright, okay. Alright, that's it. Okay. Oh, right. Okay. I mean, you know what? You go on the Googles and find it for yourself. Okay. Alright. Last thing that I want to share with y'all before I leave is, did y'all watch that debate? Here's the thing. I meant to record this episode yesterday. But the day before that was the debate between Kamala Harris. I had to think about it to make sure I was pronouncing her name right. Kamala Harris. And this former president. And, yo, there was some gold in the... Look, okay. There was some gold. Okay, I won't lie. I will not lie. The same way I was the black guy nervous about Obama winning the election, because, you know, racism. The same way I was nervous. I was one of those people who were like, what if the white man is right? Hey, white supremacy, fuck me up, right? And I'm like, yeah, what if, hold on, chicken. What if it is true his birth certificate is fake? And it, as fucked up as it is, even though I know it was bullshit, like, there's no way this black man would embarrass himself like that. But I was allowing the racist to get to me. So in the same situation, I think I allowed fucking bad confession. Yo, I may unpublish this episode, but whatever, man. I allowed the whitey to get in my head and being like, oh shit, hold on a second. Well, they said that her record this, but basically, I was hearing. Oh, let me put it this way: it's a good thing I'm not Kamala Harris, because I would have allowed the noise to get to me. I'm not good enough. I'm not doing this and blah, blah, blah. Right. And, and the other thing too is fucking Trump. I wouldn't doubt. Okay. Hold on. This is a fucking fruit fly here. Just driving me nuts. If you saw me on the video, right. I wouldn't run it past them to be like, hey, yo, your daughter's tied up in a Brooklyn basement. I don't know. Kamala doesn't have any kids, but you know what I mean. One of your loved ones is tied up in a Brooklyn basement. Take a fall in the fifth round. Whatever. You know, shit like that. As you can tell, I don't spend a lot of time in reality. My mind is always at... My imagination sometimes is not my friend. So I allowed all kinds of for every reason for things to go wrong. Kamala Harris is not me. She rose to the occasion. It's not that I was impressed. It's like I allowed myself to believe. That's what happened. The cynicism was like, fuck it. I'm on this train. I'm ready to die. I swear my sword. I'm like, what's his name? The guy who lost his dick there. Reek. Theon. I swear my sword. She's like my Sansa. Or my Queen Daenerys. Swear my sword. Who am I kidding? I'm not fighting anything. But my point is, I'm like, I'm riding this motherfucker. I'm right behind you. Through the gates of hell, sister. And my point is, shit. She's stood up. Shit. That's what I love about these folks, is they know all eyes are on them. They're not doing it. It's not. They're not just doing it for themselves. They know that, yo, I'm leaving a fucking legacy. I'm trying to leave the door open for people before me. I want motherfuckers to remember me when I'm 99. At my funeral, shit. You could get robbed at my funeral. There's going to be fucking lineups. I'm going to need a helipad for my knee. Like, I'm leaving a motherfucking, a goddamn legacy. Anyways, so needless to say, my point is she killed it. One of my friends, one of my homegirls, she hasn't seen the debate. And I'm like, I feel like telling her everything. But I don't want to spoil it for her, so I didn't say shit. But I did tell her that, yo, she rose to the occasion. And it's not just that she rose to the occasion. She showed us how another example of how women know us way better than we do, us men. What I'm trying to say is, I believe women are the stronger sex. This ain't me trying to get pussy out of it, because, you know, it doesn't matter, because I can't get it up. Anyway, whatever. Sorry, let me try to be serious here. I do believe women is the stronger sex. They just let us believe we're the strongest one, so we won't, like, go to war over it. Bitch, you're going to respect me! I believe women are better than us. This ain't pandering. This is more like what I saw on that stage. See, Trump played the role of, I'm the ultra masculine man. I mean, I know a lot of people are laughing at this shit. It's like, that old fart? No, you don't get it. A lot of us 80s kids, people my age, my generation, grew up and Trump, people like Trump represented, yo, this is the template of masculinity. This is alpha male. This is what you're trying to be. You're trying to get paid. You're trying to get these bitches. You're trying to, like, you know, the shit rappers rap about. Trump was that symbol back then. So that's why, like, he's like Trump is a poor people's image of what rich people are. And he was also the image of for a weak man or what a strong man is supposed to be. Fuck that. 3 divorces. Slept with a porn star. You see my wife? She's hot. I mean, she used to be hot, but she's a fucking model. And I'm going to trade that bitch up once she gets old. You know, that's what being a piece of shit human being, that's what masculinity was. Then I grew up. Started re-seeing the world in a different way and shit like that. And then all of a sudden, all those shit that Trump showed us, that started to lose its value. And then, you know, I started seeing him for what he really is. But what I'm getting at is, when he was on that stage, he was like, yeah, I'm good in there. I ain't gonna shake that bitch's hand. Fuck that. You know, man, it's fucking 1950s is back in. I'm gonna get on that stage. I'm gonna slap that hoe with my dick. And then walk off. And what she did. So I guess what I'm saying is, That's what he was represented. A lot of like incels were like, go Trump, go, go Trump, go. Yo, I knew that she learned from the mistakes Hillary made. She learned from those clips. Okay, this asshole is not going to fight fair. I got to go in swinging. This asshole is going to expect me to be meek, to punk out, to be like, please stop, stop, sir. Stop raising your voice at me. All you heard is, all you heard was that, don't hit me no more. That's what she was going to, like, that's, I guess they were expecting her to be weak. She came in, shook this asshole's hands. I remember I saw that. She shook his hand. I think what I like about that power move, it's like she shook his hand and introduced themselves. Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name's Kamala. K to the M-A-L-A. All right. Anyway, yeah. So, shook his hand, and I was listening to some another podcast about it. But it wasn't just a power move, but it was also, yo, I'm trying to bring civility back into politics. But it's funny, you could tell, I was going to shake this black bitch's hand. That's the other thing, too. This asshole came in, and the word was he had no respect for her intellect. It's like, fuck. I tell you, I thought Hillary was black. You got this nigger bitch fighting me. Fuck that. I'm going to kill Mammy. And whatever, man. And whatever. You can tell he came in. She shook his hand. And she was all civil, polite. And a friend of mine was telling me, a friend of mine has a theory. He goes, if you shake some woman's hand, if you're like in a business setting, she shakes your hand and she gives you a firm handshake. That's code for, dude, I'm going to rip your ass apart like a man. I may be a chick, but don't play with me. Anyways, you don't, I'm the wrong one. So I don't know if she gave him, I'm assuming she gave him a handshake. But the point is, she shook his hand. I'm like, okay, it's a good start, whatever. And then, proceed with the ass whooping. You know, one last point is, and I saw one tweet. Woman posted, she said, yo, he's not even looking at her in his eyes. And my dumbass nearly replied and said, well, because some man, like I was about to tell her something that she already knew. And for you fellas, you some oblivious fellas out there, I tell this story. I moved to California. I worked in during the .com era, so I had a job over there, and I met this dude. And he comes up to me, co-workers, right? I think he was having a buddy moment. He says, yo, well, after we became colleagues, whatever, he got a little more comfortable. And I bring it out of white people, man. I bring it out of toxic people. And he goes, no one's around. And he goes, hey, does it bother you that we report to a woman? That shit fucked me up. I'm like, I didn't know that was a thing. Now, I'm going to be clear. It's not that I was like, I don't see race or anything like that. But up until that point, I didn't know. I guess I had gotten used to. He was older than me. So I guess he's from a previous generation. I remember growing up when women in the workplace was considered new. I was still in school, but I remember hearing about it. Women. Being in the police force. So I was part of the generation who had, it was normalized for, okay. Kind of like the WNBA, this generation for them, WNBA, Caitlin Clark, Angela Reese, it's been normalized for them. I still remember the generations of fucking female basketball. It was a punchline like, first black president. Those two words were like female basketball, first black were punchlines. I'm part of the generation where, you know, I remember when it was a punchline. I remember when it became, oh shit, a force to reckon with. So I guess women in the workplace, that dude was part of the generation where women weren't in the workplace, and he's still trying to go back. Like, he's trying to make America great again. He's trying to go back to that generation. Anyway, so he said that shit, and it, and like, it was weird, but you know, I guess he was having a buddy moment. I was like, I can't remember what I said, but it wasn't like yeah. But it was I didn't say like, hey, that's a fucked up thing to say. I was not there. I was not full disclosure, but I remember just like it's like being in the barbershop and someone says some fucked up shit like grab it out of the pussy, and you're like, all right then, guess I gotta be careful around you. Anyways, so when he said that, and then fast forward to Trump, I'm like thinking, yeah, Trump is from that old school generation. Like, I mean, I was going to say, I'm kind of surprised his lawyer, his lawyer, because she's a woman, and attractive woman, fucking dumb as doornails. I think he, what I'm trying to say is, Trump's not the type, from what I've seen, that if he's got a woman working for him, he's smarter than her. She's like kissing his ass. She's stroking his ego and all that shit. So I say that, all this to say that, yo, Kamala, she knew the type. I say all this shit because I remember when homegirl baited this dude. Now, here's one thing, right? Trump actually did better in this debate than I thought he would. My point is, my expectations was low. Like, I was expecting him to drop the N-word and the C-word. I'm not sure which one would have been first, but drop the N or a combination, but I thought it was like, yo, why is this black bitch staring me in the eyes? You know, I was expecting, like, fuck, like, okay, cut the commercial. Okay, this is canceled. I didn't expect them to go full round. I was expecting them to be like, yeah, fuck this. What am I? But, you know, or to play dirty. He stuck around. Now, another thing I didn't expect him is for him to fall for the fucking bait. Sometimes I think, I have a theory, and if it's true, remember you heard it where you heard it first. I have the theory that Melania probably, not to say that she's in a good place, but she hates them. So the enemy of my enemy is my friend. She probably say, hey, look, he's really sensitive about his dick size. So, you know, hit him there. Whatever. Okay. So Kamala came out swinging and she knew all the pressure points. Bing, bing, bing. And he was like, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, glass jaw. Anyways, so I love how when she was, so my favorite part, okay, there's a long list of favorite, because I got clips. I'm not going to play all of them, right? But I will tell them. Links will be in the show notes so you can check it out for yourself about the shit clips of what she said during the debate. But the first one that still has my attention is how she was like, yo, I'm going to do something different. I'm paraphrasing, right? I'm going to do something different. I'm going to encourage you guys to go to his rallies. And don't be surprised if you're sitting by yourself. A lot of ain't, no one shows up to his goddamn rallies. Excuse me. No one shows up to his rally, and if the people who do show up are bored as fuck. And I'm like, that's ageism. I'm kidding. Bored as up and yawning. Yo, she said that shit, and I'm like, no way he's going to fall for that. I mean, that was good shot, but I'm like, come on, man. I mean, that was a jab, right? That was a jab. This motherfucker's like, okay, Trump, can you talk to us about how you're going to fix your comedy? Fuck that. That bitch just dissed my audience. Fuck that shit. Fuck her mama. Fuck her dad. Fuck whatever. Again, I'm paraphrasing. But he fell for the fucking bait. He was like, hey, man, I get bitches at my rally, man. A lot of people show up. How many times have I said the word bitch? Sorry. A lot of people show up to my rally and blah, blah, she's wrong. What the fuck she's saying? No, you got a small dick. No. But anyways, he fell for whatever, man. I don't know if for those of you who've seen The Wire, you know that scene when Bird loses it in court with Omar? Again, Omar Bates. You lying cocksucker. Sorry, excuse me. And then in the background, after he loses, he snaps. And in the background, you can see Stringer get up and be like, kid, this round is over. Fuck that. Walk away. I feel like that's how advisors were. After they saw him lose, I was like, yeah, fuck. shit, I'm going to lose my job as an advisor. Fuck. I prepped them for nothing. Anyways, out of everything to happen this week, I think the top list was that debate. You know, I was talking about how Smell the Roses. So the rhyme was me. This is me smelling the roses. That debate is me smelling the roses. After that, I'm going to go back to being how life sucks, everything sucks, and bitching about and self-loathing. But highlight of my week was Kamala Harris stepping to the plate. Now, there's other clips. I'm not going to play it, but I'm just going to read out the things that she said that I really enjoyed. My favorite is Trump can say, she's going to steal all your guns. And she was like, hey, homeboy, me and my running mate both asked guns. Wink, wink. Don't fuck with me. I'm from Oakland. I'm from Oakland. Spend time in Montreal. You know how many crazy Haitians are there? Don't fuck with me. I got a bullet in you. Whatever. She didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing. But my point is, I didn't know she was a gun owner. But I love the fact that she affirmed that, hey, we both. Oh, that's right. Biden has guns. But my point, I didn't know she was a gun owner. Somewhere there's a white liberal going, oh my God, I'm not voting for a gun owner. That's disgusting. Fuck you. Anyways, yeah. So I love that scene where she says she's going to go on. Another highlight I should play it is this former president. Long pause between this and former president. Now, you know what's fucked up is I missed that scene. I don't know how to fix this. My fucking TV, which I thought I got a good deal on. You get what you paid for. It's this TV, for whatever reason. I Google it. I can't figure it out. But when my neighbor decides to turn on whatever, some device that needs Bluetooth, it broadcasts everywhere that, hey, time to connect. I'm trying to pair here. I'm trying to pair. And my fucking TV is like, hey, what's up, buddy? So it like blanks. So one of my point is I missed a part of the debate because my fucking TV is a whore. It hears any Bluetooth, any attempt to pair. It's trying, okay, I'll do it. So I got to go cancel whatever. So I missed it. So I missed that that part, and I missed I forget the other. Oh yeah, I told the dude, don't do it anymore. I won't lie, that was kind of a little gangster. I said, well, it was kind of fucked up. I mean, he goes, yeah, the head of the Taliban, his name is Abdul. Something tells me that's not accurate. He should have went with Muhammad. Anyways, his name is Abdul. I said, don't do it, Abdul. Your dude said he was going to do some 9/11 shit. I told him, don't fuck with us. Again, I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say those exact words. But I love the fact that he acts like he's talking to Abdul on the phone. And says, don't do it. And then he faxed him, according to him, or emailed him, whatever. He sent him a picture of Abdul's home, according to Trump. And we'll say, why is this picture of my home? Well, you about to find out. Don't do it. You fuck with the U.S. Whatever. Okay, look. You know what? Trump would have been amazing if he was an entertainer. Oh, my God. As an entertainer? If he was a rapper? Because he says all the right shit. An entertainer? Oh, my God. It'd be amazing. President of the United States? No. You know what? Okay, I'll go an extra level, right? I actually don't hate Trump. I'm not voting for him. I hate his fucking voters. I hate his supporters. If they were gone, Trump would be the funniest motherfucker out there. If they didn't, if it wasn't for the possibility of him being president of the United States again, he'd be a fucking, what's that word? Ah, fuck, I'm blanking on the word. Not a brawl, but he'd be like, he'd be very funny, very, very entertaining. All right, okay. Now, out of all the things he said, the one that I will play is this shit here, which is very popular. And,
in Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country.
All right, okay. Let me elaborate on. For those who are unaware, this is okay. This is funny. I won't lie. It is funny for him to be to bring that up. But I was shocked. I'm like, he really went there. Now, I forgot to mention the reason I didn't record yesterday is because I wanted to talk. I wanted to hear people talk about the debate, and I knew three guys on do a live show on Wednesday, so I plugged in just to listen in. And then, yeah. Anyway, whatever. Okay. But oh, the reason I bring them on is because they had fun with that clip. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the dog. Anyway, whatever. Now, the eating the dogs thing is the rumor, the latest bullshit by white people. That's what I'm gonna call it. The latest boogeyman is the latest scare tactic is using Haitians who've immigrated, Haitian immigrants, whatever. And claiming in Ohio, I don't know how it started. I'm not sure of the origin. Not that I really care, but I am used to Haitian bashing. And there's like this claim that Haitian people are out there eating dogs, eating pets. I don't know how that happened, but let me put it this way. As a Haitian, we're not getting it from the French, we're getting from the Dominicans. If we're not getting from the Dominicans, we're getting from the French. Now, we're getting it from the English again. Hey, we're back, baby. We are back. You know, the punchline is, I want to say shout out to my Asians. We're in this together now. There's a TikTok video of a black dude, the Asian guy, joking about the fact that, hey, it looks like we eat pets now. Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, it's not uncommon to hear Haitians and something negative. I'm used to it. I grew up with it. Now, this is where I get serious. It did fuck with me growing up. As a kid, it did fuck with my identity as a Haitian kid. Shout out to my Haitian friends who I grew up around who were like took that shame in my identity out of me, like just their sheer presence. Like, this is what happened is my parents immigrated to Canada from Haiti. God bless them. But they didn't value culture. They wasn't in it. They valued their Christian identity. As far as they're concerned, being Haitian. Okay, you know what? My mom less than my dad, but for them, Christian identity over everything. Being Haitian didn't, if they did value their identity as Haitian, they didn't really communicate it to their kids. It wasn't, oh, you better remember, it's a fucking, you're Haitian over anything. Nah, they wanted us to assimilate, whatever. Stories of every immigrant, like the dilemmas, the challenge, they're trying to raise kids in this new country, and they figure that it's better if we abandon, you know what, maybe they had a bit of self-hatred themselves. But with that said, I grew up with a self-hatred for my Haitian identity until I got to high school. What happened in high school is I was surrounded by other Haitians and Haitians who were proud of their identity. And that's where I learned a lot. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. So you're telling me there's more to Haiti than church and school? Because that's all my parents told me. I learned a lot. You know, I'm like, wait, what revolution? 1804, we did what? Okay, no, that's not true. My mom didn't tell me about the revolution. She just did go into deep. I guess my mom was just careful not to give me. She was careful to give me enough history so I won't be like killing white kids. You know what I mean? It was just enough to be like, well, tell me more about this slavery and what. So when did they apologize? Did we get reparation? We never got reparation for that. Fuck that! I'm killing the teachers and the students. Whatever. So I'm showing up to school with a machete. Anyway, so my mom taught me enough history just so I won't lose it. Problem is, when I got to high school, when I started reading for myself, I'm like, fuck. Oh, I'm angry. Oh, yeah, I'm fucking angry. Anyway, so I'm giving you all this context just to say that I had this self-hatred. And so I'm making all these jokes about eating the dogs, but I am thinking of somewhere out there, if it's in Ohio or somewhere out there in this world, there's a Haitian kid who's hearing this shit about eating the dogs, or even worse, who's being teased by white kids. Oh, you know, maybe it's a different generation, but whatever, whatever. I'm thinking of my younger out self who's out there and probably in tears being made fun of because Donald Trump endorsed the idea, ran on the idea. Like, I'm not saying he started it, but he's like, he's fueling it. He's like adding gas to the fire. Like, to him, this is like, yo, this is just, I'm just trying to get votes. But somewhere out there was a black Haitian kid in tears, and his mother's trying to console him and be like, and saying whack shit like, you know, oh, just ignore them. Nah. You know what I mean? And it does break my heart while I am thinking about the fact that I was going to email, I know this is it's a tense moment, but I do feel like calling my homeboy who lives in Atlanta, and he knows a lot of Haitians. I want to say, do you know any Haitians in Ohio? And them niggas eating pets? That's not fucking funny. Anyway, yeah. Okay, so I'm making light of the situation while thinking about, yeah. And the thing, too, is, yeah, no, we were getting it from the American kids, too, the black kids, too. It's like, oh, you Haitians stink. Yeah, that's why it was a big deal for us when Wyclef, the Fugees, released Blooded on Reality, and there was a little hint that Wyclef might be Haitian and Praz might be Haitian. But when they released, what's that album called? Refugee. What was the name of that album? The popular one. Sorry, but, you know, my brain is not cooperating. It's the main one, the one that got popular. When that album got released, it changed our lives. The score, Jesus Christ. Yes, the score. I still have memories of going to see the Fugees in Montreal. And fuck. Again, Smelling the Roses. Maybe this album should be called Smelling the Roses. Yeah. In Montreal. And they made sure to let us know they were from Haiti. In fucking Montreal. Whoa. I still remember Cote Mounio, whoa, Mpawe Mounio. They sang that song. They played that song. And they were like, ah, I can't remember what he said, but basically he's saying, y'all, Haiti's in the house. Bruh, bruh. And he knew he was in Montreal. And the fuck. I'm not sure if I snuck out the house, but I do remember using my parents' car. Me and a high school friend, we drove to Montreal to see this concert on a motherfucking school night. I rarely do that. Anyways, but it was worth it. And we drove back home the same night. What the fuck was I thinking? Whatever. But it was a dope-ass concert. What I'm trying to say is, I think this is me expressing gratefulness for everyone out there who pulled me out of that shame. Nah, don't get me. It wasn't just Haiti. I mean, if I gave you my biography, first it was being black. And then it was, okay, I'm proud to be black, but I don't know about this whole Haiti thing. I had to... You know, it's part of growing up Haitian is getting used to Haiti's in the news. Okay, what happened now? What negative shit? It's just constantly bombarded with negativity about your identity. It's like, fuck. It's like you're born cursed type of shit like that. I brought this, like, it's enough of a fact, yo, my therapist, she's Haitian, and, I think part of what made her, I'm saying, okay, this is gonna be a permanent thing, yes, she knows what the fuck she's doing, is how she was able to, is the word commiserate, I knew she understood where the fuck I was coming from. Yeah, man, fucking Haitian parents are wilding. You got beat with a belt. I got beat with a sandal. But, you know, okay, that's not what we talk about. But my point is, even though there was that pride But it was enough for me that it's something that I needed to talk to a therapist about, preferably a Haitian one. And it worked out. Yeah, we clean on that shit. Anyway, we clean on it. Anyways, so this concludes news and random thoughts. And let's jump to, that's it. Yo, this is, I wasn't expecting to be, I know, whatever. That I'm not saying it took a lot out of me, but it took a part out of me. But, yeah, no, that's it, gang. All right, news and random thoughts. Sorry. Let's jump to the final act and call it a day. All right? Okay. Let's do this. Okay, all right. Kathy Fisher West. You know, I need to change my, there's some change on the podcast. You know what? Okay, let me focus. All right, okay. Using random thoughts. So, again, you listeners, I like to, when I start my final thought, I first explain what the fuck is up with today's title. And that's just me explaining what the hell today's title has to do with final thought. Because they all come together. All right. So, today's title, because Allah done sent them home, comes from a verse by Jay-Z on his song, on a track with Jay Electronica. I'm not going to get the acronyms. Oh my God. This song is, are you serious? All praises is due to Allah, which stands for, API, all praises is due to Allah. APIDTA. This episode's final thought is a sequel, is a follow-up to the 201. I got numbers on my phone. And I was talking about how on the weekend, someone passed away. Now, on the previous episode, what's wild is, focus, okay. Follow up to the last episode, I got numbers on my phone, and this is just the next verse to that last line, okay? So I got numbers on my phone that I'll never ring again, because Allah done sent them home, and I'll never. Now, the reason I chose that verse is because I heard that someone close, someone that I know, I can't use the, I can see, I mentioned, I'm avoiding using the word friend because we were in the same circle. By high school standards, we were friends. By childhood standards. I know her. I had her phone number. We hung out together. We've seen at parties. We all have mutual friends. We were close. I won't lie. We were like that level of closeness. But we weren't close like, oh, shit. What are you going through? Like, you know, real friend, 3 a.m.s. I mean, the real, when you're at my age, and I was told this was going to happen, and I'm an older person told me growing up and said, when you get older, you'll be lucky if you can count the amount of friends you have on one hand. And that's what I'm trying to say. This is why I'm avoiding using the word friend, because I was not on that list of, I would not, we were close. We're close, but we weren't friends. Let me just leave it at that. Part of the black community and everything like that. Been to her place. It's significant, right? And I think part of it is I'm thinking of the fact that the passing, I don't know, there's a lot of complicated feelings, whatever, right? But I'm establishing this again, this is another setup, because on the last episode, I was just like, I think I feel like I was like, not hardcore, but I was like, not insensitive, but it's kind of like, is the word stoic? It's kind of like, I was talking about death like, people die every day, me, you know what I mean? I wasn't cool about it, but it's like I had accepted that, yo, fuck, that's life, you know what I mean? I'm likely next. Shit like that. Like, it's just... Death is promised to all of us. I guess that was, in a sense, the focus of the conversation. Then, going to therapy, tell my therapist about my weekend, but specifically about the passing and how I'm processing my feelings. Fast forward to the end of the session. I'm crying like a fucking bitch. And it's not the crying that gets me. It's after how I felt. I was angry for crying. Now, this is, I guess, a debate conversation I have with my therapist. It's like, she's trying to convince me that ain't nothing wrong with crying. And I'm like, see, I hear what you're saying, but my mind is disagreeing. I am not agree. I remember crying and then wondering, what the fuck did that accomplish? And she's using words like, thank you for being vulnerable. And the one thing, again, still processing feelings. I'll get to why I cried, or my theory to why I cried, is still processing. Fuck, I should write these things down. Still processing. I remember leaving the session wondering, why do we cry when someone dies? Now, for those of you who are at peace with yourself, who are well-rounded individuals, to you, you'll be like, well, duh, you just do whatever, right? But I'm really trying to rationalize this. I need to see. So there's a system in me, and I guess maybe, okay, fuck it. Very likely this shit makes me an unhealthy human being, right? The way I deal with my feelings. Again, I was born in this whole patriarchy society. You know, boys are like this, girls are like that. This is what, in order for you to be a real man, a real boy, if you want to amount to be like the Trumps of the world, you know, first thing you got to do, you got to cut that shit. You got to cut that crying out. You hurt yourself off your bike, fucking suck it up. Don't fucking cry. You're being a bitch. I can't remember. I might have been 11 when I finally gained the ability to not cry when I feel pain. Problem in doing so, it made it difficult for me to cry afterwards. And the thing is, to complicate things is, I'm still learning to make peace of the fact that I'm a highly sensitive person. Look it up. It's an actual word. Some people are hearing highly sensitive. So you're a bigger bitch than most people? No. Highly sensitive person. Look it up. It's a trait. It's a personality trait. Just like, anyways. So, I'm repressing tears, but I feel a lot. But there's days where I go and I can feel the urge to cry, and I can't get myself to cry. So it's like I feel like something was broken inside of me. Now let's fast forward to why I cried. There's a thing in me that I will not allow myself to cry unless I understand the reason for it. No, okay, it's even more complicated than that. First, I need to understand the reason why I'm crying, and then I need to evaluate, okay, is it worth it? Is it worth the tears? So, for example, your homie dies, okay? You know, that's appropriate. Your homie dies, okay, fuck it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Wait. I could get laid too. Some chick is going to think I'm being sensitive. Okay. Whatever, right? Okay, what's this? Oh, you're watching the Titanic, that scene at the end when they're in heaven? Not fuck that. Don't cry. Fuck that. Nope, not acceptable. Sorry. We just ruled it. It's been judged. I know I can Google why people cry. I know the reason. A part of me wants to understand the rationale. The first time I cried in, this is so wild. The first time I cried in a therapy session, I remember my therapist saying, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm crying. It doesn't matter. Just fucking let it out. And I'm like, but it goes against my instructions about tears. Nah, let it go. I'm like, I don't know, man. It's like there was this huge fear that the doors were gonna open. No, no, actually the fear is my therapist gonna be like, look at this thing, look, click. I'm putting this shit on Instagram, click. I got this little bitch to cry. I've managed to associate shame with crying. It's wild. I'm fucking grown up. Grown up. If you have a conversation with me about, no, it's okay to cry, I'm like, yeah, whatever. What's even more crazy, Tupac was a sensitive soul. He's got a rhyme called So Much Tears. In my mind, I'm like, no, it's okay for him to do it because he's proven himself as a real man. But you be black, fuck that shit. It's bad enough you get no bitches. Okay, I know I've said the word bitches a lot. I'm going for comedy effect, but I'm realizing whatever. Okay, you get no hoes. You don't get to cry. Thinking out loud, boys and girls, this is what's going on. Thinking out loud. That's what I do on this podcast. I'm not offering solutions. I'm just thinking out loud. Where this goes, it's my art. All right. So, processing feelings, in doing so, it led to tears. And what I learned in therapy, or in that session, or what I learned about myself, there's like, I can't give you the specific, I can't give you a rational, I can't write out this dear diary, I cried because, like, a logical answers. It was just, the spirit overwhelmed me. Now, I did accept the passing of my friend. I know a lot of people are sad by it. I understand, you know, I accepted that, but it's just the circle of life, right? Life's a bitch and then you die, you know what I mean? Like, I've accepted that. But what I recognize in that moment, during that session, or actually after the session, is it's like I got in touch with the part of me that recognizes the sadness about death. I'm thinking there's something about, yeah, there's something about the concept of the afterlife, or there's something about the end. There's something about, see, I can feel it right now, right? There's something, if I think about it enough, I will, the sadness will come up. So the person who passed away, and let me establish that I was trying to give a perfect picture of or an accurate picture of, I say relationship, but like of our friendship, of our bond, right? I may not have been a friend to her, but she still feels like the person who's in the club, and I'd be like, yo, can you hook me up? That's the kind of friend she was. Yo, can you hook me up? And if she could, she would hook me up. She was that kind of human being. Her being on the other side, the afterlife, I feel like I'm like, yo, what the fuck's going on over there? Is the party worth it? What's going on in there? Who's in there? You see Pac? Can you hook me up? Like, assuming, okay, if let's go with the afterlife. Let's pretend like there is a heaven and heaven is a club. I feel like I know someone inside the club right now. Don't get me wrong. You know, I have a grandmother, grandfather who passed away. I know people pass away, but she's like, on the last episode, I joked about how she's like she feels more like my connection to the afterlife. I'm allowing myself to believe in an afterlife, right? She's my connection. So on one end, I'm like, shit, I can take the time to reflect. Damn, wonder what she's doing. If there is one, or is it just, that's all she wrote. So it's just non-existence. The flip side, there is an afterlife. I know she's on the other side on the long list of shit she's doing. I wouldn't be surprised to go, hey, oh, Jesus, can you hook that nigga up with his podcast? There's that connection. You know what I mean? It's that kind of person who's over there. Anyways, I say all this shit because what triggered the tears during the session is I was remembering the first time I cried in a therapy session. And it was after watching the season finale, the last episode of The Deuce, HBO The Deuce. And it was something about, okay, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, but it ends with the main character. The main character doesn't realize it, but you, the audience, see that, oh, he's dead. And he's just walking. It's like he's walking through heaven. And, because it's not heaven, but it's like he's, you can tell that he's passed to the other side, and he's walking, and he's seeing everyone that he knew that have passed away. He's seeing them again. They're like talking to him, like, yo, what's up? Like, you know, say what's up to him. And it was something fucking sad about that idea. That combined with, joking, the Titanic, the idea of when the main character, they die, and you can tell, it's like, you can tell, like, they've passed, but it's more for you, the audience, to realize that, oh, shit, they're in the afterlife. Again, I can't explain it. I don't know what it is about that shit, but it gets me. The idea of walking on the other side. What's that Kirk Franklin song that goes, may his peace be with you. Okay, I'm not going to sing it because it's my sound. May his peace be with you till we meet again. That verse gets me. May his peace. I can't explain it. Now, the one thing I trust, again, the therapist was saying, you know, just cried, whatever, right? There's a truth that I am behind that. What I don't understand, there's a truth that either I'm not able or I'm not willing to accept. And I think, there's something about this emotion that I can learn from, even though I'm fighting it. Now, I say all this shit about, I'm telling you all this shit about how I am. I'm angry that I cry. What the fuck did it accomplish? Fully knowing, while open to the possibility, there's something you're trying to understand. Hold on a second. You trying to understand why? I'm going to put Matrix. I hate when I press the caps lock by mistake. Okay. So, this is too long. Matrix Revolution. Hold on a second. What she says? Okay. I'm thinking of that scene in the Matrix where the Oracle tells Neo, he goes, you already made your choice. You're trying to understand why. Fuck that scene. Fucked me up. It's like, if you've seen the Matrix Revolution, you'll understand what I mean by that scene. But it's like, I believe whatever's causing me to cry, I know what it is. I just can't get myself to see it. And until I can allow myself to be comfortable with these tears, to accept it, I won't understand why. I guess I believe there's a truth that I'm not wanting to see. Maybe that truth is my discomfort with death, with the idea. Like, I'm acting like when my friend, it was one of my friends, or common friends, he called me to tell me that a mutual friend, she passed away. And I could sense that he was like a bit distraught. Not fully, but I can sense that he wasn't saying, hey, someone's going on a voyage. Like, it was serious news. I can sense there it was. And on the other end, I was like, I wasn't trying to be a tough guy, but I remember being like, like, I've been going through this journey with death. I nearly, like, I was going to call the last episode talking about death again. Because in 2020, I'm not saying I was suicidal, but I am saying death felt like a solution. That's, I was in that mindset. Death felt like, I remember telling myself how, wow. I remember, look, I was in cardiologist. They were like, whatever, that x-ray. They were looking at my chest and looking up my heart pumping. And I remember staring at my that x-ray and going, you know what? Looking at my heart and looking at that video of my heart going, you know, if you were to stop, a lot of my problems would go away. I was in that kind of mindset. So when he told me passed away, I was still in, I don't know, she's the lucky one. Combined with, I'm getting close to being 50. I've made peace with the reality. At least I told myself, I made peace with the reality that death is coming for all of us. Ain't no sense being scared about it. It's coming whether you like it or not. Yes, I know, death and taxes. No. Death is more guaranteed than taxes. So when he said that, I was like, everybody, I didn't tell him everything, but I was, my mindset was like my first instinct wasn't, oh, she passed. My first instinct was, fuck, I'm next. Or I'm around next. I'm like, death is just getting a little too close for comfort right now. It's like, bing, bing, bing. Okay, I got James Earl Jones. Bing, oh, your homie. Bing, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, now you're getting a little too close. Tupac. This, okay, I'm gonna wrap this up. I'm not really making a point except just pointing out that it took my therapy session to cry. I was angry that I cried, and now I'm like more reflective on it. I'm still processing my thoughts and feelings about the passing of someone that I know. Now, telling me, I don't know, condolences. It's more, if I do feel for anyone, it's her family more than anything else. Her family and her actual friends, the people who were close to her, the people who can who like Jay-Z said, you know, knew her mom knew the people or the things that mattered to her. Yeah, that's where I'm at, man. I don't know if I'll make another, whatever, but it's my goddamn podcast. I'll probably follow up. Yeah, this is what I do on here, man. I'm just processing feelings and thinking out loud. And I am talking about shit that I do talk on this podcast, but those weren't you. I do talk about things that I wouldn't feel comfortable. I mean, okay, I guess I talk about things that I'm used to people saying, oh, fuck, that's making me uncomfortable. Shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear about it. But it's still things that are running in my mind. While you're trying to make small talk with me, I'm like processing. While you're bitching about how your favorite TV got canceled, or you're trying to talk about how the fuck your favorite sports team, this, whatever, I'm like, my thoughts are, why the fuck did I cry? Why do we cry when someone dies? I'm thinking about shit. My mind is elsewhere. Thinking about things that, to me, matters. All right. You know what? Fuck it. Usually I try to keep these episodes short, but, you know, I said things that I needed to say, and no regrets. All right. With that said, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast, episode 202, because Allah done sent them home. Wait, did I say that right? Because Allah done sent them home. It's bizarre, in English, pretty bizarre. Am I missing anything? Yeah, no, check out the other links. The other links in my, feeling a little somber, man. But anyway, whatever, man. That's why I got weed for. All right. Okay. This concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. As usual, if you want to holler at me, holler at me at shutuppodcast.com, or you can email me at shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Hey, you know what? On a long list of reasons why you can email me, let me know if this, how does that sound? Like, when I hear it sounds, my headphone, it sounds loud, but whatever. I don't know if I should get a P block, whatever those mic blockers are. Okay. Anyways, yeah. shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Yo, did I mention I've moved to a podcast host? I'm gonna make a bigger deal out of it, right? Right now I'm using their trial version and shit is starting to work out. I mentioned it. And so now I can safely say that I'm pretty much listed on most, if not all, podcast directory that's out there. Shut Up Podcast is in the building, is on the internet, right? No more. I mean, the link to the RSS feed is still on the website, but whatever. I'm making moves. Thank you for listening. And please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.